agreement. Jack smiled and said, I'm glad you understand. Joy said, I'm more than understand, Jack. You're a bachelor, I'm a divorced woman, and some people might get the idea that we might get married. But you have no such expectations. You don't want me to get hurt. You've had this out in the open so I don't get hurt. Do I understand you correctly, Jack? She said, yes. And Jack smiled. He said, you're an extraordinary woman. If there's anything I can do for you, please tell me. She said, well, there's one thing you can do for me. I'll give you the second half of that story at the end of the message. We're looking at Matthew chapter 20. That's from the C.S. Lewis Through the Shadowlands movie on Amazon. It's free on Amazon if you want to check that movie out. You might want to put your earphones in before I tell you the last half if you don't want to have the end spoiled for you. We're looking at Matthew chapter 20. I got a text message from Pastor. He said the installation service went well and things are going well there. And just continue to pray for them. Pray that Pastor and his wife have a good time off. Amen. I love him. He's been a blessing to me. He said thank you for he said thank you for me preaching. I said, well, it's my pleasure. I love this church. It's you're just so easy to love. I really appreciate y'all. So we're looking at Matthew 20 in verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them. Notice it's plural there. For whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. We're just looking at 3 points tonight. This outline may sound familiar. Ever heard the problem, solution, benefit outline? The problem is a little bit different here tonight. It's as believers, sometimes we want an easier life. And that's human nature, to want easier life, comforts. But sometimes we put too much emphasis on the easier life. We save up for a nest egg, and there's nothing wrong for saving up for a rainy day. But sometimes there's too much emphasis on that. These disciples, they wanted the privileges of being in a high position. And there's comforts with that. We see pain coming in the future, and we try to avoid those kind of things. The opposite is true with the Gentiles. There's a direct contrast here. So we try to avoid pain, and he says, are you able to take this cup of suffering? They said, we're able to take this cup of suffering. Do you think they really understood that cup of suffering? I don't think they did. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't think Jesus was scared of the pain that was coming in the future. The physical pain, it didn't scare him. He was a manly man. He knew as the Son of God, he would feel separation from the Father. He didn't want to feel that separation. I don't think they were ever separated, but he would feel that separation when the sins of the world were placed on him. He knew what was coming. You know, I had a little taste of separation of oneness when my wife passed away. And I hope you never have to go through that. Some of you have gone through that. It's a devastating thing. But because what God prepared me in the past, he prepared me for the loss of my wife. Some of you have heard my story. When I was in Egypt, I was there a few years, and nobody had been saved those first few years. And I know you're not supposed to look at results, you're just supposed to be obedient. But, you know, human nature, we like to see results. We're preaching the gospel, nobody's getting saved. And I got disappointed in God. I'll just be real frank with you. Some of you have been disappointed with God because God didn't do what you wanted him to do. And so I was asking God, why isn't anybody getting saved? And I got angry with God. I was demanding answers. And thank God it was only 2 months of depression. He brought me out of that. And he taught me, even though I'm disappointed in my little world, he has a much bigger plan. That I just needed to trust him and continue to go forward and be obedient to what he'd have me do next. And when Stacy was about to die, and it looked obvious, hospice had come in, and it looks like the time was coming. And we've been praying for God to heal her. I was disappointed that God had not healed her. But I'd learned from that previous, that depression back in whatever it was, 2018, that I just needed to trust God. Even though it didn't look right to me, didn't seem right. But as for God, his way is right. His ways are perfect. We don't understand everything, but we just trust him as our Father. And so he prepared me for that, just to praise him in the storm and continue to follow him. You know, life would be much easier if Stacy was here with me right now. But we just have to continue on. We don't understand it. We just continue to follow him. So we see the problem is easier life. We can put too much emphasis on an easier life. Then we're going to look at the solution here. We're still in Matthew 20, verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. This word minister in Greek is diakonos. We get our, the deacon, we get that Greek word diakonos, we get deacon translated into English. So a deacon serves, right? He's a good servant. But he doesn't necessarily have to do everything you want, right? He's to serve your needs, right? We'll continue to read here. Verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. That Greek word for servant is doulos. The Greeks also use that word for slave. Now you can double check me, but I've done the research. Pastor agrees with me. I read a book by John MacArthur. Doulos means slave. We just need to yield as a slave. That's the solution, to yield as a slave. Continue to read verse 28. The greatest example of a servant is who? Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The greatest servant ever. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he yielded like a slave. He said, not my will, but your will be done. He really did not want to take that cup of suffering. That was not going to be a pleasant experience. But he yielded like a slave. You know, we were on deputation before we went to the mission field. We were visiting a church in Salisbury, North Carolina. This young preacher got up to preach, and I don't remember everything about the message he preached, but I do remember at the end of the message, it was basically, you need to yield your life to the Lord. And he had this blank sheet of paper. He had this blank sheet of paper. He set it up front. He said, if you don't want to just yield your life to the Lord and just sign your name at the bottom, let him write your life story. Isn't that a great illustration? Like, not my will, but whatever your will is. And when he preached it, I thought, well, I've already done that. You know, I've already yielded my life. I'm going to the mission field. But over the years, I've learned, you know what I do sometimes? I start filling in things. No, this is what I want, God. So it would be a good practice every day, maybe just get a blank sheet of paper. You know? Say, God, today is yours, whatever you want. I sign my name at the bottom. When we give the invitation, maybe you want to come up and sign it. I'll have a pen up here. That'd be a great thing to remember, wouldn't it? To sign your name to a blank sheet of paper. God, whatever you want. Have you ever done that before? Maybe we need to do it again. And sometimes it felt like it was too much what God was asking me for. I mentioned the story earlier, that difficult time, the depression. A difficult time when Stacy was about to pass away. It just felt like this is too much. This is going to kill me. But somehow he carries us through those difficult times. Let's turn to, hold your place there in Matthew 20 because we're going to come back. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Love to hear those pages turning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. This word servant is doulos again. The form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look over chapter 3. This is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him. Now think of Paul. He'd already been in the Arabian deserts, received revelation from God before he wrote this. He knew God. He had been saved on the road to Damascus. He wrote some things that Peter said it was hard to understand some of the things he wrote about. And he wanted to know God better. If he wanted to know God, how much more should we get to know God? We need to know God better. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that Greek word for resurrection is the only time it's mentioned in the New Testament. John Phillips and others surmise that because of the context we read, that's not just the ordinary rapture. Paul knew he was saved. He knew he was going to go in that rapture. This is a different group of believers, and we'll talk about it. We'll continue on here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had not quite reached that point where he was yielded as a slave yet. He wanted to get to that point where he could yield like his master Jesus had yielded to the Father. He wanted to get to that point where whatever your will is, Father, I'll do it. Because he knew that if he could get to that point, he could be confident he would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when he got to heaven. You know, he talked about the terror of the Lord when he talked about the judgment seat of Christ. But we know in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. At that point, when he wrote that, he was confident. He had surrendered like a slave. He knew he was going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But when he wrote there in Philippians, he hadn't reached that point yet. So the solution to the problem of the easier life is just to yield like a slave. Let him have full control. And I think that's something we need to do every day. Look, I hope you held your place there in Matthew 20. We're turning back to Matthew 20. This is the last verse we're going to read. It's the last point of the message. It's the benefit. Verse 27, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." The benefit is the satisfaction of being confident to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Satisfaction. And just four subpoints of satisfaction. I stole this from John MacArthur's book. I haven't finished reading his book, but I read the last chapter. It was a chapter, The Riches of the Paradox. He talks about the paradox of being a slave to God at the same time having freedom. He said slavery brings freedom. This is John MacArthur's words. Now I'm going to modify this for my message here. Slavery brings freedom. He said slavery ends prejudice, slavery magnifies grace, and slavery pictures salvation. But to modify it to fit the satisfaction benefit, I'm going to say satisfaction of freedom when we surrender as a slave. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." After we got saved, we became servants of righteousness. We're free to obey. We're not bound up by sin anymore. We're free to do what's right. You know that word servant there in verse 18, or servants, is doulao. Doulao comes from doulos in Matthew 8:9. That's the first mention of doulos, Matthew 8:9. If you want to double check that and do your study on doulos. But we see the satisfaction of freedom. We also see the satisfaction of ending prejudice. Hope you held your place there in Philippians. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." The form of a servant. You know, as we've all been bought with a price, we're all slaves to God, really. So there should be no prejudice among believers. We're all slaves. There's not like a higher slave than another slave. We're all on equal ground. Colossians 3:11 says, no difference between bond nor free. And then we're going to look at the satisfaction of magnifying grace. So I hope you're still there in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is allowing God to work through our lives for other people to see God's grace in our lives. And then the satisfaction of demonstrating salvation. You know, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. He paid the sin debt for us. And when people get to know us, we can share our testimony and they can learn of how God paid the sin debt for us. How he set us free. So the satisfaction of demonstrating God's salvation in our lives. Well, let me wrap up with that last half of the story from C.S. Lewis of the Shadowlands. If you don't want to hear the last half, let me put in some earphones. to recap kind of the first part of that movie, C.S. Lewis, he'd already kind of gained his fame from the books he'd written. Was the Chronicles of Narnia. He'd written some of the books, and so he had a kind of an easy life. He had some comforts. It wasn't complicated. He wasn't married, didn't have any children. And then this lady, her name's Joy, she got divorced. She had these two kids. She moves to England because she wants to be friends, and they become friends. But Jack, or C.S. Lewis, made it clear, I don't want to get married. And then she was going to ask for a favor. Remember that? Well, Jack had been thinking about it. And there's this one of the scenes towards the end of the movie. Jack is sitting down in the living room with his brother, Warren, also known as Warnie. He said, Warnie, I've decided to marry Joy. He's like, he was shocked because Jack was living a good life. He said, it's only for bureaucratic formality. So what they did, because she needed a way to stay in the country in England, she needed a permanent residence, he thought he'd help her out, and just on paper only, they got married. Not a real marriage. It was just in front of the bureaucrat, they signed their names or whatever, did the paperwork. But then later, Joy was diagnosed with cancer. And Jack realized, I love this woman. And he actually really did marry her. And then the cancer went into remission, and then later on, cancer came back. She died. It was devastating to him. And one of his stepsons, Douglas, was devastated. He was up in the attic, and Jack went up to the attic to sit down with him. And Jack said to Douglas, it doesn't seem fair, does it? If you want to love, you have to have the pain. Jack and Douglas was like, I don't understand why she had to get sick. Jack's like, nor do I. But you can't hold on to things. You have to let them go. And so then the last scene of the movie, they're walking through the snow by this river, and Jack says to Douglas, do you know how to swim? Douglas says, yes. Do you know how to dive? He said, no. He said, in the summer, I'll teach you how to dive. And what he was trying to teach him was just to let go, yielding. That's what we need to do for the Lord. He bought us with a price. We need to yield as a slave, just whatever he wants. Just whatever life story he wants in your life. That's really what we need to do. Just let him have control of our lives. And try not to add much or anything if you can. I know we're... You know, we mess up, we sin. Thank God he's there to pick us back up, and he gives us a fresh new start. We're going to stand, give this time an invitation. Has there ever been a time where you said, Lord, I yield whatever life story you want to write for me. I just want to sign my name at the bottom. Maybe you want to come forward and sign that paper. Maybe you just want to make that commitment there in your seat. Maybe you're lost. If there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure that you go to heaven when you died, today could be the day of salvation. You could come forward. Somebody can show you from the Bible how to be saved. It tells us in 1 John, these things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure. If the Lord spoke in your heart, just whatever he wants in your life.